So we'll read Acts chapter 5, verses 7, 8, and 9, beginning at verse 7. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. All right, in verse 7. Why was there only 3 hours between the death of the woman and the death of the man, I wonder? Was that enough time? Why was she late? She was 3 hours late to that service, wasn't she, that meeting? Where do you think she was? Did she have a good reason to be gone?
Buying
something with the money? Maybe she was. Maybe she was banking it. But after 3 hours, his wife, now, why didn't she know what happened to her husband? Yeah, Dan.
It's possible that maybe husband was going to take care of the giving this contribution to the cause.
Maybe.
And when he come home after so many hours, she went to see what happened to him.
Maybe so. In other words, are some wives interested in where their husbands are?
Yes,
they should be, shouldn't they? All wives should be. And if they're gone a little bit too long, sometimes what do the wives do? Now, what do they do, Albert? What? They inquire. Yeah, Anna?
They call the office.
They call the office because you know where your daddy is. Yeah.
Pray that he's all right.
Pray that he's all right. Now, that happened several times. I know I was there talking to my son out in the motel. We went to our children's house there in the area of Maryland for the Thanksgiving holidays. I was out talking to one son, Dick, who came to the motel to talk with us. And I went to the lobby and saw my wife wondering, where was I? Something hurt? Sure enough, she called on the telephone.
Gone
a long time. All right. So she called.
3 hours?
No, not more than 3 hours. Oh, less than 3 hours. And then I tell you, the next morning before we left, our same son, Dick, who delivers papers, and he's a pastor, and also he's a manager of a big paper establishment, and he brought us one of the Sun Times in the papers and delivered it to us, and knocked on the door. We were up, and so he came in and we talked to us. And we talked and we talked and we talked. And finally, we lost to talk about it. Finally, there's a ring on his cell phone. Sure enough, his wife. Wonder where he was. See? And so, I mean, this is it. I mean, wives are interested. Now, I'm sure that husbands are interested where the wives are. Sometimes, husband, are you ever interested where your wife is, where she is? No? So we should call. So that's entirely possible. The husband was taking care of business. She came and wondered. 3 hours, not knowing what was done. What was done? What's the meaning there? What was done?
What was he doing?
Hope you do. Vaughn, I don't think I've done this. I'm sorry. I've got to get all these things in line. Is the thing working okay? You can see this on here? Okay. What was done again? I missed that.
You don't know what
did. No, but what had been done previously? Who was it? Okay. Who was the he? That's right. Ananias laid the money, part of the money at the apostles' feet. And then what happened? What was the question that was asked? Where's the balance? They probably said, you sold the land. You know, last week we said something, it was $1,000 something, and they sold it for $1,000, but they only told the apostles they sold it for $750. And is that all? They lied by saying they gave the whole amount. Now, they could have held something back, but they said, we sold it for $750, and they didn't. They sold it for $1,000. And that's why it says later that this is so much a price. But what happened to the husband?
Gave
the ghost, he died. Now, was that right of the Lord to kill him?
Yeah.
Yes. Why was it right?
Disobeyed.
Lied to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Anna? He what now? He sinned too much. All right. Now, is it right, is it just for the Lord to send people to hell? Okay. On what basis does he send people to hell? Well, they may be bad, but they may be... But the disobedient... Anna?
If they didn't accept
Jesus Christ. That's right. If they didn't accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the thing. The sin of disbelief and unbelief. Remember, it says in John 3:18, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So it's the rejection of Christ. So the Lord is righteous, and didn't know what was done. That was what was done. And she came in. And verse 8, what did Peter say to her? What was the question that Peter asked?
How much
did he sow? Just so much. So I wonder why he asked that question. All right, to see if she would die, maybe, but...
Lie!
Oh, lie, not die. She was going to die, but lie. Okay, is that Dan?
She said... she clarified it.
Oh, clarified it, yeah. And so, but what did he want to establish in this question, verse 8? That's an important question.
Were they together in on it?
Together in on it, and what else? That's right. Together, and what else? The second point. What was his exact question? Now, he didn't ask how much did you give to the things of the Lord, but how much did you sell it for, right? The price. Now, as I said before, illustration-wise, they may have sold it for $1,000, but she said, oh, we just sold it for $750. See, that's what it was. See, it's something under. Now, she could have kept it. There's no problem, but she lied. Yes, Bonnie?
Could she have said it would have been acceptable?
I do not wish to discuss it. That would be bad. No comment. That would not be acceptable. So,
if she said that, what would happen?
Well, I don't know. Did she answer the question? She did not?
Did you tell her so much? And she said yes.
So she answered the question. Now, did she give the right answer? Did she give a truthful answer?
No.
She answered it, but untruthfully. Because so much, she said yes. But the so much was not what she really sold for. And then verse 9, he gave the challenge. And what was the charge against Sapphira? Is this Sapphira? Yes.
In it together.
Does God hold people accountable if they jointly do some sin? That's right. Does the law generally hold people accountable who are accomplishing in sin?
Aiding and abetting.
See, the lawyer, we ask the lawyer. See, you know, we got a doctor here and a lawyer, and we ask different things, different people. We got a scrub nurse that knows all about surgery and whatever, not scrub nurse, but whatever. What is it? Nurse technician. He knows all the things about things. And we got a lot of people doing a lot of things. And, of course, other technicians, that's right. Oh, we have mother technicians. Yeah, we have mother technicians that know how to do things. So the situation here was that they've agreed and they're in cohorts. Now, remember those two that killed 13 people we told about yesterday? They're homosexuals. The two Negro fellows, one was in his teens, one is a 31, or I forget how old it was, but snipers. Killed 13 people. Now, they are being tried in a certain state that has capital punishment. They're in it together, but I guess we're going to have separate trials. Am I right? Separate trials? Isn't that what they decided? I don't know. But the co-conspirators. Now, if supposedly one drove the car, the other fired the gun. Legally, how do they work that, Anthony?
Same charge.
Be murder or whatever. Equally guilty. See, so there's conspiracy. Now, people say, well, is that fair? I didn't pull the trigger. But if you're in on it, that's what it is. And the Lord held this lady, the wife, Sapphira, yes, Anna, guilty equally with her husband. Well, someone was forced to do it. That would be a mitigating circumstance. That would be a defense. That would be a defense. Mitigating circumstance. They could use that to get off.
It was forced,
yeah. Now, that's what that gal with Hanoi Jane. Was it Hanoi Jane? No, it was the other one. It was the Hearst girl. Claimed she was forced against her will to go in with the Zambinis. What were they called? The zombies? The bambas? Palestinian Liberation Front, was that what? Yeah. They had a name for it. I forget what it was. Yeah. And so she got off a little bit on the free side.
She went to jail. She got pardoned by President Obama.
Somebody pardoned her. Who did?
I don't think it was.
Must have been someone else. But this verse 9, they agreed together. That's the conspiratorial situation. And that's where I think in Acts 2:23 that we just memorized, or we're trying to memorize. Remember, let's say that. Acts 2:23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. See, the conspiracy, ye have taken. All of these ones that he was preaching to, the Jews, even though they weren't equally guilty, their people, their leaders, have cried out for his execution. And they might have been the very ones that said, let him be crucified, let him be crucified. And the ones that cried out for the crucifixion were equally guilty in killing and slaying the just one. Now, this is the way the Lord holds it. So you've agreed together to tempt the Spirit of God. What does this word tempt mean in the English language and all? Yes, in our old English. Yes? What is it?
Trick.
Well, that might be. Try. That's good. Try. That's good. Try. Tempt. What else? Another synonym. That's good. All right. What else?
Try.
Test.
Win
fool.
Over.
Win over. Yes, Anna?
To try to
lead someone the wrong way. That's
persuade.
Good. Persuade someone in. So to see, what is it?
Con
somebody. Yeah, we got a lot of con people, haven't we? Con men. And so on. You've tempted the Spirit of the Lord. Now notice he's called the Holy Ghost in verse 3. The Spirit of the Lord, he's the same person of the Godhead, to tempt and test and try. And then, what does the feet mean in here, verse 9? What is this feet business? Is that a chiropractor or chiropodist? Talking about the feet. All right, the feet of them are to... Now, what do you call that figure of speech? The feet of them that carry you out. Part for the whole. All right, that's a part for the whole. Is that right, Adari? Part for the whole. You take the feet, means all the whole body. See? Are their feet only going to do it? Can feet alone handle a thing? The guy has the feet and the hands and everything else, and the stronger body. So that's the figure. It's a figure of speech, but we understand what it means. The feet of them that have buried thy husband. Now, how long does it take to bury an Orthodox Jew? What is their principle?
Very fast.
They try to do it the same day if possible. You have to dig the hole. I have a tomb. Yes, Dan?
Last week, a week ago Saturday, was killed in Israel, and they were, even as they were reporting that same day, they were already buried.
Is that right? So he's...
Before the Sabbath.
That's another thing. Before the Sabbath.
Within hours.
Within hours. This is what they try to do even now. Yes, Anna?
Sometimes the hole is already dug.
Well, that's true, but not really usually. Let me ask you a question. Is the hole for your burial already dug?
No.
The hole for my burial? No. But and I don't know, are there sometimes they dig burial holes before people die?
This whole building down in Cutler Boulevard is openings right now.
Well, what I mean, but it isn't already dug, but is it already...
Mausoleum,
yes. Oh, you're open for business at all times. For those who have died. Mausoleums, the crypts. All right, what? You don't need a hole being dug. So if it's a tomb, you would just open up the... Immediately, because it was a tomb, it was a new tomb, never been used by anyone. Joseph Arimathea.
It
was prepared already.
It was never used.
But it was prepared. It was ready. That's right. So what we're saying is, if this Ananias and Sapphira were fairly rich or well-to-do and did not need a hole to be dug, they could be buried in one of these tombs in a cave, in a crypt of some kind. So the ones that bury their husband are at the door as we carry thee out. So the feet are at the door. And when the feet come close to Sapphira, then she's got it. She's gone. And then let's read verse 10, 11, and 12 together. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. All right, so when in verse 10, when Peter said that the feet are there, the man with the feet, what happened to the woman immediately in verse 10? Dropped dead. How do we know it was immediate? What does straightway mean? Right away, immediately, okay. At his feet. What does it mean, yielded up the ghost? Died, all right. The spirit, dismissed the spirit. She yielded up the spirit. The Lord took her life. Now, we mentioned last week, was she saved or lost? Remember we asked that question? Well, probably lost, saved. We got a different opinion. Different. The house is divided. Speak up for those who think you're saved. Some speak you're lost. Whatever. Yes, Anna? That's your stock answer, John. That's good. If we're interested.
They were unsaved because they said, by your fruits, you know.
You think you're unsaved? All right, anybody wants to speak up for they were saved?
How can someone who is not a believer lie to the Spirit?
All right, that's a good question. Tammy, you got a... All right, so, yes,
sorry,
Dr. Pepper.
I have a puzzling question.
That's all right, puzzling or not.
Going back the previous chapter,
yes.
Says neither was there any among the lack, for as many as were lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of things that were sold.
That's right.
Does this mean they sold home residents, or we might think of they had another house and sell one, mm-hmm. but did they sell the place where they lived, and if they did, where would they live?
Yes.
What that means?
Lands
yeah.
and houses.
Lands
more than one.
Maybe lands and houses. Maybe had more than one.
And I was thinking the rich young man that came to Jesus.
Yes.
Sell
what you have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was a time, I think, Dr. Pappas, of great persecution. And now we mentioned last week, was this communism? What did we decide last week? Was this communism?
No.
No, it's voluntary. What is it, communist? Forced. It's forced. Right? So they voluntarily, because of the persecution, it's like a family. You know, Dr. Pappas, for instance, if your family was in dire need, see, you didn't have any food, nothing to do, you almost had to sell your house, maybe go to an apartment or something, but the house to get the money to buy food for your family and take care of the house bills and all. So that's what I think they did. They were in a family situation. But as to the question were they saved or lost, it says many of them, in verse 34, they're among them that lacked. The them would include who? Who would be the them? Who is the them referring to? Other group of believers. So you'd assume that these were the ones, Barnabas, you know, in the last part in verse 36 of chapter 4, sold his land, and he was one of them, and a certain man in Sapphira, one of them. So you see, you assume they're one of them, see, as believers. Yes, Anna?
What do you think about whether or not
they're saved? Well, I would think they're one of them, that they'd be saved. Now, let me ask another question. Is it possible for saved people to lie?
Yes.
All right, yes. Everybody's a sinner. Saved sinner or lost sinner. Now, what is it that in a Christian that makes them possible to lie?
The flesh.
The flesh? By the devil? Anna?
World of flesh and the devil?
World of flesh and the
devil?
Yeah, Anna?
Well, Billy Ray was sometimes by the devil.
Sometimes by the devil. What is it in the person that's saved, born again, regenerated?
As forgiven.
All right.
Be restored.
What is the personality of a person before he or she is saved and born again? What's the personality of that?
Selfish,
child of the devil. How many natures do they have?
One.
What is that nature?
Evil.
Evil, sinful, the flesh. When you're regenerated, how many natures do you have?
Two.
Two. What are the two?
Spiritual.
And flesh.
Pastor, friend of my dad, Pastor Gadelichev of Berea at the Baptist Church in Philadelphia, uh-huh. who has a missionary thing,
mm-hmm.
he says that Christians have one nature, the new nature. They still have, however, the old flesh. Well, he brought up the verse that new things has to make old things become new, that when a Christian accepts Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, he has a new nature, the nature of leads. He still sins, not because he still has the old nature, but the old flesh.
Well, many people think he's wrong and think that the old nature is the flesh. That is the old nature. See, there's different people have different ideas of this. The holiness people, the complete holiness people, what do they say about the sin nature? When you're entirely sanctified, what happens to the old nature? It goes away. You just have one nature. It's just. What does John MacArthur say about the two natures? Does he have two natures or one nature? He just has one nature. Now, the scriptures where it says in Galatians chapter 5, 19 to 20, 21, the works of the flesh are these. About 17 of them. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, long-suffering. There's love, joy, peace. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against this, no love. Did I leave any out? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. There's eight. There's nine of them. I missed
patience.
Patience. I forgot. All right. Love, joy. All right. Long-suffering. Yes, Anna? The hanging up, all the fruit of the Spirit. That's the hanging in the kitchen. All right, we don't want to do that right now, but she keeps the fruit of the Spirit on the wall. It keeps it nice and fresh. See, fresh. Yeah, that's good. Come to your house, too. So, you see, the book of Galatians is written to Christians, isn't it? And he says the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. So, in other words, believers have two natures, and the work of the flesh are all evil. And only if we walk by means and the power of the Holy Spirit can we overcome those works of the flesh, wickedness of the flesh. So we must walk by faith and not by sight. And also, remember Paul in the Gospel, or rather the book of Romans, chapter 7. He says, now I'm saved. What I want to do, I can't do. What I don't want to do, I do. It's a war in my members. And that's the war and the nature is two natures. So I don't see how people can say there's, you know, not two natures. But as I say, the entire sanctification people say, we get so sanctified, then you're no longer sin. You're absolutely sinless and perfect. We don't believe that. We believe you still have the old nature and the new nature. But it says in 1 John chapter 2, a little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. God doesn't want us to sin. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous. He's our interceder. He's our lawyer. And does God want Christians to sin? No, he doesn't. He doesn't want them. Does he want them to lie? No. Who's the father of the lie?
Devil.
The devil. We talked about that in John 8:44. Yeah, Vaughn?
Well, the point is that they think who you're not.
That's right.
They do something wrong, and then they lie something.
That's what they say.
Again.
That's where you get saved all over again. That's right. So, but we believe that, see, now, this not, Ananias and Sapphira were wrong in their doing this, but this, we talked last time about the sin unto physical death. Remember, this was a sin unto physical death where God said, I'm sorry, you've lied against the Holy Spirit, you've had great disgrace to the cause of Christ, and I'm going to call you home to heaven. If they're saved, I believe they were, at least they were with, if they weren't saved, they were with the group, see. Now, let me ask you this. Is necessarily everyone who's a member or an attender of a church saved?
No.
All right, is it necessary that everyone attending a church that's a fundamental Bible-believing church necessarily all saved? No. Even members of a church, are they necessarily saved?
No,
absolutely not. We've got to be careful. Yeah, Dan?
Is it true?
Now, does God want us to have only saved members in the church? That's what he wants, but it's not always true. Yeah, Dan?
Is it true that everyone attending a liberal church is lost?
Is it true that everyone attending a liberal church is lost? No. Is everyone attends the Roman Catholic Church necessarily is lost? No. But what should the person do who is saved in a Roman Catholic Church? That's right. Leave the church, come out from among them, be separate, right?
Yes.
Bible separation.
They decide to stay in the church. You are wondering whether...
Yeah, you're wondering. That's right. And also the Roman Catholics who are generally saved. They say a lot of people, oh, they're saved Catholics. Here. Well, that may be true. But the first thing, in obedience to the Lord, it says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with what? Unbelievers. See, what fellowship with righteous with unrighteous? Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Anna?
Why do Roman Catholics have it? What rules are they?
They usually use either the old Douay Rheims version, but now they got a new called... Was it a New American Bible? Not American Standard, but New American Bible is one they use quite often. Sometimes they use the Jerusalem Bible. That's another Roman Catholic Bible. So they got different versions. See. The Douay Rheims is, I think, although they use the wrong manuscript, the Latin Vulgate, it's more accurate in their translational style than these newer versions. But it's still wrong manuscripts and so on. Yes, Anna? Yes? The NIV, the New International Version? I don't know whether they ever used that. I do know this, that the Roman Catholic cardinals and pope have put a special imprimatur on the TEV. There's a Roman Catholic edition of the Today's English Version, which is the good news for modern man. Really bad news, but they have a... Oh yeah, there's an imprimatur on one edition of the Today's English Version. So that is, some of the Catholics use that. Yvonne?
We were told, I have found one woman who was very active anti-abortion red line.
Uh-huh. Yeah, with... Yes, it's too bad. Go back into Rome. I don't understand. No, but she went back because she's there against abortion. She's against abortion. She's... It's too bad. There was the House of Idols. Yeah, Dan? I don't know, because they weren't strong enough against abortion. Nari? No. They're having problems. Yeah, Nari? Okay, what I would do is simply use one of their Catholic Bibles. See, we have in our Bible Today bookstore an article on winning people to Christ with the Catholic Bible. Use their verses. See, some verses are just as clear as our verses. See, many of them are not clear. So we can do that. Take the Douay Rheims. I wouldn't take the modern ones because they're not really literal in their translations. But you can take a Roman Catholic Bible, Douay Rheims version, for example, and read it to them. John 3:16 and so on. And you can do it. Yes. So, in other words, that doesn't mean that we approve of every verse in the Roman Catholic Bible because they leave out this verse and this verse and this portion and this word, and it's wrong because they use the Latin Vulgate instead of the proper text for Septuagint Greek. But you can. There's enough verses in the Roman Catholic Bible. You can lead them to Christ. And 2 Corinthians 6:14 is just as clear in the Roman Catholic Bible. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Come out from among them and be separate. In fact, when we went, my wife and I went as reporters to Arrowhead Stadium. Where is it again? Where is it? Kansas City, Missouri, years ago, and attended a charismatic service. And had Kevin, not Bowder, but Kevin somebody was the head man. He was a Roman Catholic, a lay leader, and had all the Catholics together in a big charismatic meeting. Some Christians that are liberals and some modernists and some fundamentalists, different ones. And they had the cardinal of the Roman Catholic Church was there, Cardinal Sunens. Cardinal Sunens, he's the one that, for the charismatic movement. He said, all the Catholics should be in the charismatics, everything's fine. He's for charismatic movement. So we were in a press conference with Cardinal Sunens. And I was a press member, and I asked a question. I said, Cardinal Sunens, he's all for the charismatic movement, everything's fine. And believe the Bible and do what the Bible says, it's charismatic. I said, Cardinal, what if the Roman Catholics in the charismatic movement really believe the Bible and believe that they should not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers? And what if they should believe the scripture that says, come out from Rome and be separate from Rome? What would you say to that? Oh, we couldn't do that, he said. He couldn't do that. He couldn't come out and be separate from Rome. So they're not for this separation from apostasy at all. Yeah, Anna? We compare with the King James Bible, see which verses are the same, which one aren't. See, we always compare with the King James. Yes, Albert?
Sometimes say that I find in my work life, I've said before, there's a lot of Catholics. Uh-huh. If I'm talking and sharing scripture with them, and it's one or two, they're fine to be receptive and ponder.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's six or seven rooms, they'll strengthen up in number and just try to wish-wash everything
yeah.
that I'm saying. So I just stop the battle right there, and yeah. you know, next time I can get one or two
right.
on, I'll talk.
One-on-one.
But yeah. when you're in a number, they're going to stick together with what they're going to
right.
do. But just like we would as well.
Sure, that's right. Safety in numbers. Yes, Anna? Well, we'd have to buy it. See, we'd have to buy the Dewey version. So you'd have to spend a little money or borrow it from the library or something or download it from the Internet. That's even better, sir. Actually, well, what we do, my son, D.A. Jr., has just given me a wonderful present of three or four CD-ROMs. And one of them, or two of them, have all the versions of the scriptures in English. Then another one has a different Latin Vulgate and different other things. So he's got that on there. And we do have the Latin Vulgate. Don't we, Dan, on this? Do we have a Latin Vulgate? I think we do. Yeah, we have a Latin Vulgate right down there in our Bible for Day ministry. What is it? That's down there. So you can compare with that verse. Just compare with the King James right along the line and compare it and see what's left out of it. See. You can do that. Yeah, we do have that right down there. Well, that's good. Dan, we probably have to get her one of those. Yes, Anna.
The one I would be interested in is the one that my grandparents.
Okay, do you know which one that is, Tammy? The grandparents, which Bible they use?
I'm not sure.
They might not have
it's
one.
It's not the Jerusalem.
Oh, it's not the Jerusalem. Would it be Dewey Reams?
They don't really use one.
Oh, no.
It's one sitting there.
Sitting there. Maybe Dewey Reams. Maybe the Dewey Reams. See, the Dewey version.
I don't think it is.
You don't think it is?
It's a different one.
Maybe it's a New American Bible. That's
it's
one that's... Well, New American Bible is sort of recent. Maybe the one. Well, I guess the New Revised Standard Version does have the Apocrypha in it to sort of win the Catholics over. Maybe there's a Roman Catholic that's part of the New Revised. It could be. Anyway, New American Bible. Yes, it's called New American. Oh, you do. It's called New American Bible. New American Bible. Yes, someone gave me a huge, big Bible. Didn't want to use it anymore. From the school, Bible Baptist Institute in Philadelphia, and put it up in the post and said, what do you have that Bible there for? But he said, maybe I want to compare certain verses, so I have it. I don't know where I put it, but it's somewhere.
Yeah, I just keep it to...
Yeah, keep it to confer.
Yeah, when people yeah. in my house, they
right.
have their Roman Catholic.
Right, and you can compare.
I just don't open the Bible.
Yes, show them for that. That's good. So, Nari, that's what to do. So you just have that Bible, and you can show them the things of God and try to lead them to Christ, even with the Catholic Bible. All right, so... I forget what verse we're talking about. I guess verse 10 it was. They carried her out, buried her husband, and then what was the result of this slaying of this person? If they're saved, sin unto physical death. In verse 11. Was that good or bad? It was good. Do you think the people were mad at the Lord for this, some of them? What was the reaction when God slew Ahio, who touched the Ark of God? Remember the Old Testament, the priests, how was the Ark to be carried or to be transported? The poles and Levites. Poles in the shoulders, not to touch it. There was loops in each end, four corners. Four corners here, and poles in there. Levite in the back, Levite in the front, on the shoulders. That's what to be carried. What did these people construct instead of the shoulders? A cart. A new cart. They made that cart, put that ark up there. They didn't want to waste their time doing that. And so they're going on rough territory. It was bouncy. Didn't have the springs of the Fords or the Cadillacs or whatever, see? And therefore, it was ready to fall over. What did Ahio do? He touched it to steady it, see? He put his forehead in the hand to touch it so it wouldn't fall off. What did God do? Smote him, see? Now, what did some of the people think about that? Ahio. That's a name. Ahio. Not Ohio, but Ahio.
He was trying to...
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's true. Some of them didn't think it was fair. Oh, he's trying his best. See, they shouldn't have done it in the first place. Now, if you ask this, was the Lord able to take care of the ark?
Right.
Whether, I mean, he could have miraculously kept... Anyway, he did try to do a good thing, but God says you'll never touch that ark. It's a very presence of God. And it just shows we shouldn't put our hands on where they don't belong. Things of the Lord. I mean, it's the Lord's work, and the Lord's ark. And so, but people, though, the answer was they were angry at the Lord. Now, when some people die, do some people get angry at the Lord? Yeah. If your mother dies, your father dies, your friend dies, your uncle, whatever, some people say, oh, that's terrible. What did the Lord do? Well, let me ask you this. Does death have any favorites? We all are destined to die. It says in the book of Hebrews, doesn't it? As it is appointed unto men and women once to die, but after that, the judgment. It's appointed. We have an appointment. Now, question is, are you all going to keep that appointment? Unless the Lord Jesus comes back to take us out, every one of us, preacher included, is going to keep that appointment. What time is the appointment? What day is it? Unknown. What circumstances of the appointment? How is the appointment going to be carried out? We don't know. But we're going to keep that appointment. You may miss a dental appointment, appointment with a doctor, with a lawyer, but whatever. You'll not miss that one. Yes, Anna?
I was going to say that except for the people that are still alive when this Christ comes, those are gone.
That's right. When the Lord Jesus comes, He'll take us out and change us from these corruptible bodies, mortal bodies to immortal bodies. Those that are in the grave were corrupted. They will be incorruptible bodies, be raised, and we will not die. Now that's what he told to Mary and Martha, didn't he? Yes, Dr. Pappas.
I wanted to say, if a person believed that Ananias and Sapphira were not saved, would they not sort of logically be believing that this would be the unpardonable sin?
All right, if people, maybe if some people believe that they were not saved, and, it doesn't say that they're born again, they're saved. We assume, since they're with the group and so on, if you assume that they're not saved, it might be the unpardonable sin. We discussed that a little bit last week, but the unpardonable sin, I think, cannot be committed any longer. It's only when the Lord Jesus was here. I believe the unpardonable sin was attributing the miracles of Christ to the devil, to Beelzebub. See, and since he's no longer here performing miracles, I think it's not. But some people have always preached on that and said you've committed the unpardonable sin. I think the only unpardonable sin is of sin because they believe not on me. Rejecting Christ, that's the sin that is never be pardoned. Yes, Dan?
I mean, if people are misapplying the unpardonable sin, but they're making an argument about Ananias and Sapphira, unpardonable sins would only be applied even during the time of... Is it only applied to believers or is it applied to lost individuals as well, the unpardonable sin?
Could be both, I suppose. Although with Christians there's no unpardonable sin because they're pardoned and forgiven you all trespasses, Colossians says. And once we're saved. So it have to be the only unpardonable sin would be the sin of rejecting Christ, I think. Remember it says when the Holy Spirit is going to come, there are three things he will convict the world of. He'll convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. But notice, of sin because they believe not on me, Jesus said. So that's the sin that really condemns, the only sin that condemns somebody to hell, rejecting the one that came to save them. Jill?
Blasphemy.
The devil God.
I mean, that's a form of rejecting. That's definitely yes. Rejecting Christ. Mm-hmm. I mean, whether it's Satan worshiper or whether or not, you're both doing blasphemy.
Yes.
One more direct, one more indirect.
Yes.
Both blasphemy. You know,
that's true. Yes. Now. Yes. The blasphemy now.
Is it blasphemy more so?
Well, the thing is, blasphemy, see, by definition, blasphemy means to speak evil against the Lord. That's what it is. People who curse God today, use God's name in vain, Christ's name in vain, in fact, on the TV, everybody, they always say, have to say, for God's sake. They don't mean for the sake of God. It's a swearing word, see? They're saying it repeatedly, sometimes two or three times, see? Oh my God, they say instead. They don't mean praying to the Lord. It's a curse. It's blasphemy. Will that send somebody to hell? I believe no. If they reject Christ, that's the thing that sends them to hell. Now, the Lord's not pleased using His name in vain, using Jesus Christ's name or God's name. He's not pleased. So, in other words, what is blasphemy? That's what you have to define. Yes.
Some pastors teach that verse, blasphemy,
uh-huh.
as you rejecting unbelief.
The Lord. Well, if you unbelieve the Lord and don't believe the Lord, that is, if that's more blasphemy, that would be, you couldn't be saved. Yeah, Nari?
Yeah.
Gottesundheit. In other words, the German. God bless you. I don't know. That is a prayer. May God bless you. Now, as I said before, last week or two, we talked about God bless you. I don't say it. People say it of me and so on. I don't know that would be a blasphemy if it's a prayer to that the Lord may bless you. See? But, oh my God, this is a swear. This is not. Or for God's sake. This is, or for Christ's sake. This is a blasphemy. Yeah, Tammy? I mean, excuse me.
But when people swear, bless you.
Yes, yes.
Then there's like a mystical, belief behind it.
Yes, yes, because you see that they believe that the spirits, evil spirits, are there. So may God bless you. If God doesn't bless you, then you're going to die because evil spirits come out of your nose and your mouth and your body. See, so it is. It's a satanic phrase. I mean, really. I mean, if you don't believe that this false mystical medieval curse upon people when they sneeze. That means the Satan and the spirits are there, and you've got to say God bless you, otherwise you're going to be attacked by the devil. If you don't believe that, you don't have to say God bless you, but that's the root of that. It's a bad thing. Son, is that what you're getting at?
Yes. Yeah. Because Mary always say when people sneeze, he says the phrase.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well,
and I said, I don't say that.
Yeah. Okay. So, this is a battle. I don't mean to be involving the battle of the favorites here, or the battle of the sexes, but in other words, just a simple phrase, may God bless you. You know, nothing wrong. May the Lord bless you. See, I ask the Lord bless all of you. See, I want, but you know, necessarily forcing us to do that when people sneeze, you know, that's not necessary either. See, now they've got many hands. Albert first. I'm sorry, Jill. I'm sorry. Then
no,
John.
I didn't know. I mean, when I began saying that, I just saw other people not say the bless you when people sneeze. I said, well, because that's wrong, because it's stupid to bless someone over a mere sneeze.
Yeah. Over a mere sneeze. Yeah. Well, that's a good idea. That's a good thought. It's wrong to bless somebody over a mere sneeze. How about that, Mary? Does that sound right? What's that? So good looking. Yes, now, Albert. Albert, then John. Anyway. Yes, but it was attributing the works of the Lord Jesus as if he did it by the power of Satan. See, that's, I think, the blasphemy against the Spirit of God in the Lord's time. See, yes, Albert?
I'm not clear on it, but medically, I've heard when you're actually in the midst of a sneeze,
We're going to get the medical aspect, Mary.
You're stopping your oxygen flow.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that.
You're stopping your blood flow, all for a fraction of a second.
Yeah.
But all for that fraction of a second, you're in jeopardy.
You could die. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's another thing. It's not a question of the evil spirits, but just proper jeopardy. If you sneeze twice, is that double jeopardy?
I don't know how good. I think we should research and bring it in.
Okay. Yes, son.
God can bless unbelievers.
Pardon me?
Can God bless unbelievers?
Well, we would like to have him bless everybody, but the blessing of the Lord is only those that trust in Christ as Savior. And so that's what you may wish for someone. May the Lord bless you by being saved. Yeah. Bonnie? Well, yeah, the rain falls upon the just and unjust. All right, and then Tammy, and then Anna, and Albert. Bubonic plague, wasn't it?
Something dying. They're dying all the time.
Yes.
That's where Ring Around the Rose happened.
Yes. Because the rosy face.
The people that were carrying out the conversion that carried out dead cells that very rose had but it was, I think, now I have to look this up, that God bless you with what they said, is these people were dying. Something, maybe sneezing and everything, and that was like their last breath.
And I think Roman Catholicism plays a big part in this God bless you situation, because the priest, you know, the last, the divine unction, the extreme unction, rather, there's a thing, they think the priest, if they say the right words, they're going to go to heaven. See, in other words, but that ring around Rosie and the bubonic plague is part of that factor. Yes, who else? Yeah, fine, another?
My own thing about God bless you.
Okay.
I determined not to say it, not because of swearing and stuff, but I don't, because sometimes, and you want to, and sometimes if somebody sneezes, they're waiting for you to say that.
I know.
Aren't you going to say that?
They look at you with daggers.
So I would say it if it could have done that. But when someone says it to me, I say, he does
bless us, yeah.
But it's a different thing, you know, in my family, we didn't do God bless you. I don't know why. Or why not.
See, now, in 2 John, verses 8, 9, 10, 11, if any man bring not this doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, into your house, don't receive him into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for him that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Now, Godspeed could be God bless you. So on. In other words, Billy Graham, now sad to say, Billy Graham, we were there as reporters before a meeting of the National Council of Churches in Miami, Florida, I think it was, years and years ago. I don't even remember the date. I was a reporter. I reported on Billy Graham. We recorded it and so on.
Just you, not
you. No, I was there by myself. Where were you?
I was home
here. Oh, taking care of the children. I was away taking care of Billy Graham. But I was listening to this National Council Church, and Billy Graham, after having the whole thing, these modernist apostates and unbelievers, at the end of the thing, he said, God bless you. And the scripture says, if you do not bring the doctrine of Christ and the deeds of Christ, all the doctrines, you say, God be with you and God bless you, you partake of the evil deeds. And that's, you can't bless this mess. That's what some people say, bless this mess. If it's...
I got a plaque from my brother.
Oh, you do?
That said that.
What is it?
I brought it to him. God bless this mess. His apartment.
His apartment. Well, that's like I said, about a lot of our rooms. Yeah.
That's right. That's what I need, man.
Okay, Anna.
I write in my letters to my relatives. I sign in my
Okay, you want God to bless you. May God bless you. Not that God can completely bless those that aren't saved, but the prayer is, may God bless you. May He bless you, and I hope He bless you. And I hope you put a good verse in that scripture verse, Yvonne.
I remember black people, they have a blessed day.
Yes, have a blessed day.
And the first time it was said to me, I didn't know it was just a black thing. It was so precious.
Yes. Blessed. Instead of blessed, just a blessed day. Yes. Yes.
That was in the airport or something, and it was lovely.
Yes.
I didn't know. I've never heard it before. Now I've heard it before.
I know that back to the Bible, although we don't go over the compromised many areas, He always closes, may you have a good and godly day. But, you know, hope for a good and godly day. Part of being a godly day is to accept Christ as your Savior. The only way you can be godly, really, purely godly, is to be saved and then live for the Lord. All right, so great fear, but this fear was upon all the church when they heard these. And I ask it again, we got off a little bit, but was that a good thing or a bad thing for the church?
It was good.
It was good. Why was it good? I think it was good.
Maybe a revival.
Yeah, right.
Forgiveness of sin.
Forgiveness and for going with the Lord's will and not lying against the things of the Lord. It showed that God was down on sin. Yes, Albert.
Even opportunities, it also says in other parts of Scripture, for the individual to examine themselves.
Yes.
What actions they might be partaking in.
That's right. In other words, you're next. It could be you're next. You better hew the line, toe the line, follow the Lord, do what He wants, or else. I mean, the Lord was not fooling around with these Christians, was He? This was the early church. He wanted to establish the fact that the early church, we mean business here. Not just like today, a lot of people are going to church, they just sort of come in and go out, and they don't listen to the sermon, they don't care about the message, they don't leave the Bible, some of them. They're just playing church. This is different. This is real. This is for real. This is life and death matter. That's the way it ought to be. Do you have any other comments? We're going to stop right here. Yes, Dr.
Didn't you say, I mean, even though it's the early church and they were getting started, understandably, it's probably just as true today, our dealings in this area.
Yes.
Are of great importance.
Great importance. For this
seriousness.
Life. Seriousness of it. Downright. Yes, Mr.
And
Robert.
This is about tithing, right? Like, there was
well, you have gifts of the Lord.
And there was the churches, they say, oh, well, you don't have to give 10%.
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessary. But you have to, from the Old Testament. You have to give your tithe. Then you can give over and above offering and to
yes,
support.
That's a very good start.
So you okay. have to give the tithe, but now yeah. they say, like one church is a long time ago, they said you can give 5%. You don't have to give 10.
Okay.
Give 5%.
Yeah,
the other one says it's just offering.
Yes.
But it's really tithes and offering.
Tithes and offering.
And
that's
food.
A good start. And these people, you know, they were poor, they sold, and it was the lying. It wasn't the fact that they could have kept, but they lied. They said, we sold it for so much, and it wasn't.
Right.
They kept back. As far as the Lord needs his work, and some people just tip the Lord, you know, but not even tip. Now it's 15%. The Lord is there. But I mean, they put a dime or something, you know? Anyway, be that as it may.